jam broke and my taxi moved on to the airport. The Lebanese driver, who had kept his eyes frozen straight ahead the whole time, never said a word about the horror show which had unfolded in the corner of his eye. He talked instead about his family, politics, anything but what had happened alongside us. While he spoke, my mind remained locked on the kidnapped victim. Who was he? What had he done? Maybe he was a bad guy and the others really good, or was it the other way around? Beirut was always a city that provoked more questions than answers, both for those who lived there and for those who did not. The most frequent questions from my readers and friends back home all began with, how? How do people cope? How do people survive? How do people go on living in a city where violence has killed or injured 100,000 souls in 14 years of civil strife? What I always answered was that surviving Beirut required many things, but first and foremost, it required a wild imagination. Because in a few seconds on the way to the airport or to the corner grocery store, you could find yourself watching something you not only hadn't seen before in your life, but had never even imagined. The visitors who learned to respect the surprises that a place like Beirut could offer did well there. Others, like the American Marines or the Israelis, who never really understood the shocks that could greet you around any Beirut street corner, paid heavily. I'm Noon Shahak talking.